Today's Issues continues on AFR with your host, Tim Wildman, president of the American Family Association.
Good morning and welcome aboard. I'm Jim Stanley. It's my privilege to be in for Tim Wildman. And right now, I'm going to be kind of solo. Fred Jackson has departed and has left me with to my own wiles. He's actually headed out of town right now. And so we will trudge on, and I appreciate you folks listening. Be in prayer for the folks in South Carolina and there with 8 days of hope as they're getting ready. And then, of course, the folks, as Fred said earlier, in both Bermuda, East Cuba, and now it is a Category 4 storm hurricane taking aim at the Florida coast. They're talking about, of course, Hurricane Matthew. And folks, please be careful there. That it's a very dangerous storm. We have listeners in the Jacksonville area, and they're going to be under the gun as well. And so, again, just be very cautious. Of course, in South Georgia, we have listeners there. And this is going to be quite a storm. The range of it's going to be pretty good, not pretty good in a good way, but you know, pretty large. And so take that into consideration as well. This is the program Today's Issues, and I am Jim Stanley. You know, we've had a lot of clown sightings across the country, and some of them kind of eerie, some of them kind of creepy, and it's taken clowns to a whole new level. And so on October 15th, in Tucson, Arizona, some folks that evidently don't have enough to do are planning a Clown Lives Matter march there in Tucson. And they say that the reason for this is it's a peaceful way to show clowns are not psycho killers. We want the public to feel safe and not be afraid. You know, the fact that they're having a clown march kind of creeps me out anyway. So I'm not sure that's something I would encourage you to do. Folks, check out onenewsnow.com, onenewsnow.com, and you can get up-to-date news on serious topics with things going on across our country. I think so much of the time we spend on serious subjects and with the things that are going on around the country, it just gets harsh sometimes. And so a light story every now and then is not necessarily a bad thing. But I tell you, it is kind of tough. And we live in a country that this election, while important, and it is important, I want to be very clear about that, it is not what's going to really save our country. What's going to save our country, what's going to bring it back to God, is the fact that Jesus loved us, that he died for us, and we need to pray for revival here in America. We need to know that folks are able to come to Christ, and we have some partner ministries, including Franklin Graham with Samaritans there, and also our friends at needhim.com. There are some excellent resources there as well, but it is one of those things that we need to know that revival is what's going to bring us back. It is really what's going to make America again, is that revival breaks out in America and that we have the opportunity to turn folks to him and tell folks about him at any given time. So we appreciate your tuning in. We appreciate you being with us. And so never discount the power of revival. The election's important. There are some important decisions to be made in the country and for the country by the next president, including the Supreme Court justices and things like that. So I'm not telling you who to vote for. I'm just asking that you go out and vote and that you do so prayerfully and that you be in prayer for our country, that a true revival would break out and our country would come back to the roots of Christianity that it was formed on. Well, I'm Jim Stanley. This is Today's Issue, and it's my privilege to welcome our next guest. And it is the book that we're going to talk about is Practical Family Ministry, a collection of ideas. a collection of ideas for your church. And so we're going to talk now to Timothy Paul Jones, as he is our guest for this next time here on Today's Issues. Timothy, welcome to Today's Issues.
Great to be with you.
Now, your book, A Practical Family Ministry, A Collection of Ideas for Your Church, this is something that I presume from a standpoint of ignorance, I apologize, that you would like taught in the church as a small group study or as a study there to help the church provide better ministry for the family.
That's exactly what it's in aim to do, is to be able to have a resource that key volunteers in your church, the staff in your church, could use to just to come up with ideas for how to minister to each different age group in the church in a way that strengthens intergenerational relationships and that equips parents to be disciple makers in their children's lives.
Well, Dr. Jones, may I call you Timothy?
Yes, all please right. do.
Thanks. You say that you are an advocate for faith at home. Break that down a little bit.
Well, one of the best ways I can help people understand faith at home, what we mean by that, is a fraction that we use at the D6 conference, which is 1 over 168 is what it is. And what that means is that 1 over 168 is that typically, even in a great church, your child is only going to get around 1 hour out of every week, about 168 hours, in terms of, that's about all they're going to get in terms of Bible teaching, Bible training in the church. So maybe, you know, 20, 30 minutes on Sunday morning, maybe another half hour or so sometime other time in the week, but that's what they're going to get, is about one out of every 168 hours of the church training them and teaching them in the faith. Well, the reason for that that's important for understanding what I mean by faith at home is that one out of 168 is simply not enough to disciple children, to disciple youth, to develop them as disciples in Jesus Christ that will have a resilient and sustained faith into adulthood. And so Faith at Home is a movement that simply says, look, we want to make certain that this can be taken home, that this is something that parents are doing with their children, that parents are taking responsibility, the parents in the church are taking responsibility for the discipleship of their children. It's not something they just turn over to the church, but it is something that they are participating in themselves. And so a lot of different parts of the Faith at Home movement, but it's basically just a group of people who are saying, look, a ministry in the church is incomplete until it connects with the home to equip parents to be disciple makers and to build intergenerational relationships in the congregation.
Well, Timothy, in looking through the book and looking through some of the things that are there, this question is not meant to put parents down in any way. But we as a society in America have come to depend on public school to take care of our kids. So why can't Sunday school and the Wednesday night programs that are available, why can't they take care of our kids?
Well, that's a great question, and one that a lot of parents ask. And here's the thing we have to remember in this, as to that. We live in what's called a deferral culture. That's kind of a description of just the way we do society as a whole, particularly with our children. And a deferral culture is one in which parents defer or turn over the responsibility for certain things to the professionals, to the paid professionals who are experts in certain fields. And there's a thousand ways in which that's not necessarily a bad thing, always in every circumstance. If you want your child to learn to play softball well, for them to put them on a softball team. If you want them to learn to do ballet well, you put them with a ballet teacher. So all those different things like that. But here's the thing when it comes to the discipleship of our children, when it comes to their training in the things of God, that God has not given us the freedom to turn that completely over to the church, to say, okay, we pay a youth minister, we pay a children's minister, they're paid to take care of it just like the softball coach, just like the ballet teacher. We aren't given the freedom to do that. God, in fact, in the Old Testament, specifically in Deuteronomy chapter 6, gives the command to the parents. You think of all the different people God could have charged with passing the truth, passing the faith on to the next generation, but he doesn't give it to the priests. He doesn't give it to the prophets. He gives it to the parents. And even though in the New Testament a new family, we might say, is formed, that is the church that is to be functioning as a family of brothers and sisters, even though God forms this beautiful, amazing new family, the church, God still doesn't back away from that expectation that believing families disciple their children. We see it in Ephesians chapter 6, for example, where Paul says to the fathers, he says, to nourish your children in the nurture and the admonition of the Lord. A couple of terms, the nurture and admonition, the terms translated there are terms used elsewhere for pastors that are giving guidance to their congregation through teaching them, but also through kind of rebuking them and getting them back into the right way. And so even in the New Testament, parents are given that responsibility. And when somebody says, you know, can't we just turn it over to professionals? One of the things I say is okay, look, if your wife, if I'm speaking to a man, if your wife has been asking you for several weeks, hey, can we have a date? Can we just have a date? And you finally come to her and you say a couple of weeks later, look, honey, I've got a solution. I've hired a professional dater and he's going to take you out because he's an expert at this. How well is that going to go for you? Well, it's going to go very poorly because the relationship you're building and the relationship you have is not so much a matter of expertise as a matter of that personal connection and responsibility to one another. It's the same way in the discipleship of your children. You can't say the youth minister's better, the children's minister's better. He might be better. We don't know. But the fact is, even if they are better at it, the parents are the ones to whom God has given the responsibility.
Amen. This is the program Today's Issues on American Family Radio. I'm Jim Stanley in for Tim Wildman, and our guest today is Timothy Paul Jones. Dr. Jones has written the book Practical Family Ministry, A Collection of Ideas for Your Church. It was co-authored by John David Trenum, but we're fortunate to have Timothy as our guest this morning. Now, Timothy, one of the things you just talked about was the man and wife, the family unit, taking care of some of these, well, the bulk of the responsibility, frankly, in teaching the kids the Bible. What about single moms? What about single dads? What can we as the church or we as the body of Christ do to help them without making them feel, you know, less than normal?
Well, one of the things we have to recognize is that God meets us where we are, not where we ought to have been. And sometimes we forget that in a church, and we look at somebody who's been divorced or something like that, and we're like, we kind of don't know what to do with that because, and I think part of it is we're wanting to meet somebody where things ought to have turned out instead of where they actually are in their lives. Well, God meets us where we are, not where we ought to have been. And so when we as single moms, single dads who are faithful to Christ in our churches, we have to meet them where they are, not where they might have been. And so one of the things that we as a church are called to do is indeed to be a family to support, to look for those areas in a single mom or a single dad's household that there might be gaps that they're struggling with, and to ask them, how can we help you to disciple your child? Recognizing that they're having to bear a heavy load of being both mom and dad in the sense of giving input into their child's life. That's a struggle. That's hard. And that's part of being the church as a family, that we are given this call when Jesus, all the way back in the Gospels, he says, who is my mother and my brother and my sisters and all of that? What he's doing is letting us know that he is constituting in the church a new family. And what we must do is not simply, which I think is what we often do, we say, oh, that's the children's minister's job to fill up the gap right there. Well, the children's minister can't fill up all the gaps, or that's the youth minister's job. The youth minister can't do it either. We, as the body of Christ together, have to step in and to be available and to make ourselves available in these families' lives in a way that doesn't call them out as something that is a problem, but rather views them as an opportunity for us to step in and to be the family that God has called us to be in the church.
This is the program Today's Issues on American Family Radio. Timothy Paul Jones is our guest. We're talking about his book, Practical Family Ministry, A Collection of Ideas for Your Church. Timothy, as we look at this, man, there is so much technology out there. Surely there's an app I can get to take care of this with my kids. It's not something I, as a dad, should have to do.
that's the way we feel sometimes, isn't it? That we're like, oh, how can I do this? And, you know, the fact is that almost all parents feel inadequate. And here's maybe perhaps counterintuitively the best knowledge that we can bring to this if we feel inadequate, that, man, there's got to, I shouldn't have to do this, and I'm not adequate to do this. The best knowledge we can bring to that is to let parents know, you know what, you're not adequate. It is hard, and you're not adequate. All of us are struggling to do this. Why? Because we're not struggling merely against a social system or something like that. What we're struggling in this is against all of the powers of darkness that array themselves against every attempt of us discipling our children. That's what's against us in this. And so my encouragement to dads who are struggling, to moms who are struggling with this is, okay, let's first recognize you're inadequate, I'm inadequate, and we're going to get it wrong frequently. But even so, even with that, again, we as the church step in together to do this, to help. We step together. But then the other thing that we have to be aware of and to consider in this is that the consistency of our discipleship matters far more than the content of our discipleship. And here's what I mean by that. Probably 30 years from now, any Bible study I've done with my child, any family devotion I've done with my family, my children will not remember any specific family devotion or family worship time or family Bible study I've done 30 years from now. But here's what they will remember. They will remember we prioritized and we set it as a time that's significant in our family that we return to week by week by week of returning to the Word of God together. And sometimes it worked and sometimes it didn't. And sometimes we got it right and sometimes we got it wrong. But we kept on going to the Word of God together. And that's what children will remember. It's not about the content. You're going to get the content wrong sometimes. You're going to get the presentation wrong sometimes. It's not going to work sometimes. But what you can do is continue to go to the Word of God together, and your children may not remember the content, but they will remember the consistency.
You're listening to the voice there of Dr. Timothy Paul Jones. This is the program, Today's Issues, on American Family Radio. I'm Jim Stanley in for Tim Wildman today, and we're talking about Timothy's book, Practical Family Ministry, A Collection of Ideas for Your Church. Now, folks, this is a book that is broken down in such a way, even if you can't get a small group at church to do it, even if your church doesn't decide to do it, this is something that you could get. And I'm thinking of homeschool moms and homeschool dads and of course, public school kids as well, whose parents have some extra time and are part of a group, maybe. They can get together and they could kind of do this study on their own, couldn't they?
Yes, it was something that they could look at on their own. And even it's set up in such a way that if you are, for example, in the youth ministry of the church or the children's ministry, the senior adult ministry, it's organized in such a way that you can say, okay, that's the two chapters or the three chapters that relate to what I'm dealing with. So even you can go more specific than that and drill down and find just in it the things that are relevant for the ministry that God has called you to do.
You know, Timothy, one of the things that we think about sometimes, and again, going back to the apps and to the technology, one of the things that I personally think is one of the biggest challenges we face is that we live in such a time with our kids that it's hard to, the attention span is not what it used to be. So we may not get the kids to sit down for a half hour, 45 minutes, or an hour. You know, how do we encapsulate this into maybe some nuggets and a simple devotion that we can get through to them and take their phone away, of course, as they come into the room to do it?
I think there's a lot of ways we can do that. But some of them are that we actually use their technology for the purpose of what we're wanting to do. So that's one way is, for example, when I watch a movie with our children, we usually unpack it at the end of the movie, and I'll say, okay, what of these things in this movie was worthy of imitation? What wasn't? And what this and what that? So I think that that's one of the things to remember in this is the technology we do have, the movies we watch, the apps we use, in as much as we can use those for the sake of discipleship. I think there's something deeper in that. And here it is. It's that if there is a compelling storyline they will sit and watch something for hours. My middle daughter, she could sit down, if I would let her do it, and watch all three of the Lord of the Rings movies straight through. So it's about 9 or 10 hours. She could sit down and watch those straight through all the way and never stop, just go all the way through them. What does that indicate, the fact that she could do that? Well, there's a compelling and beautiful storyline. And here's what I think. I think if we present our children in terms of Scripture a compelling and beautiful storyline, even if it's not visually lush and lavish or anything like that, but if we can give them this compelling storyline, that it's not a matter of this verse says to do this, therefore do this or don't do this, that we moralize, that we just pull verses out and use those as do this, don't do this, that we rather help them see this big, beautiful, amazing picture of the whole Bible, all about Jesus and all focused on him and all centered in him, and we learn to tell them that story well. That is compelling in every generation, even a digital generation. People are driven by storylines and by stories, and if we learn to see the big picture, the big story, then people find that compelling.
This is the program Today's Issues. Our guest is Timothy Paul Jones, and the book is Practical Family Ministry, a collection of ideas for your church. Timothy, as we're coming towards the close of the show, the publicist always sends some suggested questions for us. And there's one on here I find particularly compelling, in that you feel that the family, in what ways the family is a missions training and sending agency. So if we've done our job properly, we have equipped our children as disciples to go and make disciples?
That's exactly correct. Here's what I want parents always to see, is that the Great Commission is a commission for parents. And you think, okay, I don't see anything in the Great Commission about parenting. But I would argue that the Great Commission is all about parents, and here's why, is one of the things that it is about. It says to make disciples. And if we look at the version of the Great Commission that's in Acts chapter 1, verse 8, there's a principle there of begin in Jerusalem, Judea, Samaria, to the uttermost parts of the earth. In other words, here's how I'll summarize that principle is, begin where you are and then go far. So in other words, begin discipling those close to you and then work your way outward from there. That's what we see in Acts chapter 1 in verse 8. Well, what does that have to do with parents? It has everything to do with parents, because the nearest unbelievers or young believers to you as a parent are your children. They may be, for a certain part of your life, your Jerusalem. But you're developing that Jerusalem around you. You're developing those disciples around you, not simply so they turn out as good moral creatures and do the right things in life. You're doing that so that people in every nation might have an opportunity to respond in faith to the rightful King of Kings. That's why you're doing it. You're training them up. You're discipling them, yes, so that they can make disciples. And so in that, I want parents to see that your home is a mission-sending agency where you are developing and shaping children so that they can become missionaries to a generation of people who are as yet unborn.
Dr. Timothy Paul Jones is our guest. Timothy, tell us, we've got just about a minute or so left in the program. Tell us where we can find out more about you, your ministry, and also what else you do besides just this one book, because it sounds like you've got some pretty good stuff going on.
Well, they can go to my website, timothypauljones.com. That's timothypauljones.com, and they can find all sorts of resources, not only about family ministry, but about another area that I work extensively in, which is the area of apologetics. But they can find out all of that as well as ordering the book at timothypauljones.com.
All right, apologetics are very important. I had the privilege of working with Dr. Alex McFarland and Dr. Frank Turek here at AFR. And I have to tell you, they have a great ministry there, and I'll look into more of yours as well. We appreciate your time today, Dr. Jones. Thank you so much.
Thank you. It's been great to be with you.
All right, so have a great day. God bless. Well, folks, this has been the program, Today's Issues, here on American Family Radio. I'm Jim Stanley in for Tim Wildman, and we will not have Trivia Friday tomorrow. We will, however, be broadcasting live from the Pensmore Symposium. And it's going to be a great day. They're going to have some great guests, and I encourage you to be with us beginning tomorrow morning at 8 a.m. Stick around. Dr. Alistair Begg comes your way in just a couple of minutes here on American Family Radio. Have a great day.